Bibles, I'd like to continue our study in Matthew chapter 15, and we come to verse 21. We looked this morning at the fact that Jesus was again confronted by the Pharisees and showed them the hypocrisy of their lives and their teaching, and we didn't really get a chance to look into the depth of his response to that. We looked at it a little towards the end of the message, but he responded to the disciples as they came to him and said, "Can you explain all of these things to us?" And that's where he basically talked to them about the fact that you place things in your mouth that are food, it's not going to bring moral bankruptcy before God, but if you, what's placed in your heart will. And what comes out of the heart in the form of the things we say and what comes out of our lives and the actions we do are the evidence of the sin that's in our heart. And that's what he was speaking of to the Pharisees. And we said in verse 19, he says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And that is the main thing that a lot of us need to do in our lives is examine what is the real issue of our problems in our life, and it's a hard issue. And so just pray for people that they'd understand that they need to get their hearts right with the Lord. They need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because that is what is preventing them from having fellowship with God and ultimately going to heaven and being with him eternally. Well, because Jesus was having these continual conflicts with There's two things that are going to cause Jesus to do something that he hasn't done before. And according to the scriptures, this is the only time that he actually goes outside of Israel to minister. Even when he goes to the Decapolis, which we saw he did, which is the 10 Gentile cities, they are on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and they are within Israel. However, Tyre and Sidon are not. They're Phoenician cities. There are cities that were really the Phoenicians. A lot of people really believe that the Philistines, were the nemesis of Israel from the first when they came back into the land and through the time of David, and that the Philistines were really, they were the Phoenicians. They were the same people. And the Phoenicians also were located in what is now Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon are on the south west corner of Lebanon along the Mediterranean Sea. They're two cities and right close to the border of Israel. And they were called Canaanites. They were those people that God had told Israel to destroy when they came back into the Promised Land. Israel only partially obeyed God. And the result of that partial obedience and the result of their lack of total obedience was that, it's just as God said, they became a thorn in the side of Israel. And more than one occasion, they led Israel into sin and rebellion against God as the people would turn and worship the Canaanite gods, Moloch and Ashtaroth and other gods that are no gods at all, but really demonic entities coming before men and in idol form. And the Canaanites caused Israel to stumble more than once occasion as they led them away from the Lord. And God had told them to destroy them. These people that were in Tyre and Sidon at this time were Canaanites. How do we know that? The scriptures tell us. Well, let's take a look at what it says here. "And then Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, I just want to bring a couple things before we go on. First of all, I want you to see that it's a Canaanite woman. It's somebody that he had instructed Israel to get rid of. And she's coming to him. I want you to see also the way that she calls on him. As she comes before him, she says, "O Lord, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, thou son of David is a messianic term. And it was only used by the Jews when they would speak of the coming Messiah. Yet you have a Canaanite woman who calls Jesus Lord and then calls him thou son of David, a messianic term, somebody who is the Messiah. Okay? And she calls on him to help her. And Jesus totally ignores her. He doesn't respond at all. And people say, well, why would he do that? She's a woman in need. Well, there's a couple things we're going to see in their interaction in just a moment. First, who did Jesus say that he would come? He had come first to deal with? It was the nation of Israel, right? He had come to them to present to them the kingdom. He was the Messiah. He had come in fulfillment of all the promises given to the nation of Israel of the Messiah's coming. And from the point of where he was born, when he was born, the circumstances of his birth, where he grew up, the circumstances of his growing up, the very miracles and the things that he had performed while in the nation of Israel, all revealed and should have revealed to all those that knew the scriptures at all that he was the Messiah. He was the Jewish Messiah, the one who had come first to take away the sins of the world and then to rule and reign in the whole world, because the world had been created by him. And this was in fulfillment of his promise that he had given back to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had reinforced to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then to Judah, and then to David, and to all the nation of Israel. Yet, as we've seen, as we've gone through the first 14 chapters, and now the first part of chapter 15, what was the response of Israel to Jesus? The vast majority of the people did not acknowledge him as the biblical Messiah. The spiritual, quote, spiritual leaders of Israel definitely did not. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, they rejected Jesus. As a matter of fact, they wanted him out of the way. He was a thorn in their side. Why? Because he spoke with the authority of God, because he was God, and he called and laid out their sin and hypocrisy before them and called them to repentance and to turn and accept him as the Messiah. And he laid out to them that he was the Messiah. He actually told them on a couple of occasions that, well, you have said thus, that I am the Messiah. And he laid it before them. Well, as they had rejected him, now he went into the Gentile nation of the cities of Tyre and Sidon. He's met with a Gentile woman, but she calls him by the Jewish term, the thou son of David. He doesn't respond. And there's a couple reasons. There's going to be a lesson that he's going to be teaching, not only us and the disciples, but really he wanted all the Jews to understand why his first purpose in coming, and then he would go to the whole world. But let's take a look here, and it says, it goes on in verse, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Yet Jesus did not send her away. He didn't tell her to leave. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? So he's answering the fact that she called him by a messianic term, but she's not a Jew. And he says, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the people of Israel that have turned and have been lost. That's who I'm here to deal with. Then I want you to see what happens next. Then she came and worshiped him. Now remember this morning, we talked about what worship is and true worship. She didn't come with false worship like the Pharisees, where I'm going to worship you on my terms. No, she came and worshiped him. She came and showed her that she adored him, that she believed in him, that she trusted him, that she knew that he was the one who had the power and the authority to help her in a situation where no other person could, and she truly worshiped him, something that he hadn't received from hardly any in Israel, who should have known who he was and should have come to worship him. Yet she comes and she worships him. She came and worshiped him. Now she leaves off the messianic thing and just says, Lord, help me. Help me. This is the cry of someone that is in total despair and has no hope. She's got a daughter who's demon-possessed. And this daughter has no hope unless Jesus can deal with the situation. And she knows he can. And she comes out and cries, help me. Help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, this seems like a harsh statement. But what he's stating is, the truths that I have, I brought to the nation of Israel. And if you go back and you study all that God has done in the preparation of Israel, when their Messiah came, they were to take the evidence of this Messiah to the whole world. But it was to be brought to Israel first, and they were to deal with this food, this bread. And really, we know that Jesus is referred to himself as the bread of life. And that the bread of life, it was there for the house of Israel. And it wasn't for this woman. But this woman says, truth, Lord. She acknowledges that what Jesus has said is true, that the scriptures are for Israel, that the fulfillment of the scriptures of the Messiah that was coming was to be for Israel, and that they were, Gentiles were referred to as dogs. Now, why were they referred to that? Because they did not believe in the God of the Bible. They constantly persecuted the people of the Bible, the Jews. If you go back, was there a time in the past of these nations where they knew who God was? The answer is yes. All nations at one time knew who God was. And you can see evidences of that in things that you see in memories and lore and folk tales in different countries. For example, the ICR has talked about how that they've gone to various tribes throughout the world, some of which are separated and we'd consider them backward cultures, yet they have remembrances of a great flood and of a family that was saved on a boat during this great flood. Why? Because those that they descended from had a memory of that because they all came from the family of Noah. And they all knew at one time, the whole world, all nations knew who God was. And God placed in our hearts a conscience to reveal him to us. We're going to be talking about some of those things in Romans. But she says, truth, Lord. That's truth. Yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, I want you to understand, she's got greater spiritual insight than the Pharisees had at all. She's saying, I'm not asking for the main course. I'm just asking for the crumbs. I just want what nobody else will take. That's enough for me. Do you realize the depth of her crying unto God? She doesn't want to be. I mean, today, if you look at many Christian young people, they want to be on the stage in front of everybody. I remember we had people in a lot of Christian youth wanted to get into Christian music and they wanted to be a star. They wanted to be up in front of everybody, have a big audience. Well, what is that really based on? It's based on a feeling for myself. I want to. This woman didn't want anything except, I just want a speck of your mercy, a crumb of your grace. Whatever is left over, I'll take it. What is Jesus' response to her? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, it's amazing. Some of the greatest faith that was expressed to Jesus wasn't by the Jewish people, by those who should have known who he was. Remember, there was the Gentile captain who came and wanted a healing. And Jesus said, well, I'll go. And then he said, no, you don't have to go. Because I'm a ruler over men. And when I tell someone to go do it, it's done. All you have to do is say they're healed, and he'll be healed. And what did Jesus say? I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel as that Gentile Roman captain. This woman's faith is on the same level. She understood she had no right to come to the Jewish Messiah. She had no right to come to Jesus and ask of anything. Yet she came and said, I'll take whatever you'll give me. Just a crumb. And he said, because of her faith. You compare that against what we looked at this morning, the man-made religion and traditions of men. May God's people in our country begin to have faith like this woman, where we seek to have God work through us, no matter how small the working may be. And Jesus departed thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went into a mountain and sat down there. You know, it's as if Jesus just went up to Sire and Tidon because he knew about this woman. Jesus knows our needs. And he asks us to call on his name in faith. Two things I leave with you. First, you had a Canaanite woman that knew how to worship. At the heart of worship is coming before the Lord with an adoring heart and an understanding of who he is and our unworthiness. And yet he's allowing us to come. Secondly, she didn't give up because she knew the depth of the grace and mercy of the God that she was calling on. And that his grace and mercy could extend even to one like her. And because of that, she worshiped him and believed. May we have faith that no matter what the circumstance in life, and we're facing some horrible circumstances right now, one of the things that we often can do is become discouraged, despondent, complain. But may we ask God, help me to see what you're doing in this circumstance. She had a horrible circumstance, but in the midst of that circumstance, God was able to do a mighty work and show not only her his power, but his disciples. Because remember, what did they say? Send her away! But he didn't send her away. He healed her daughter and said she had tremendous faith. Don't think that that went unnoticed on the hearts of the disciples. Because they were the ones who lacked all faith in saying, send her away. Get rid of her. She's not one of us. And I have to believe that those same men, when he commissioned them to take the gospel on to Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth, this account would come back to their minds. Jesus came for all mankind, not just them. and that they were to go where he sent them and to proclaim what he told them to proclaim to whomever he told them to proclaim it to. And we know that some of those disciples, Thomas took the gospel to India. Some of the other disciples went up into what is now regions of the upper Middle East with the gospel. Jesus said, I haven't seen such faith. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, help us to have the faith of this woman. Help us to see beyond our circumstance to see you. Help us when others would seek to discourage us from coming to you, that we still come. And help us to call on your name, which is a name above all names. Lord, you are able to deal with circumstances that are beyond any man's control. Lord, you healed physically, you cast out demons. You restored relationships. And you touched hearts. And you're still doing it today. Lord, we pray for those that are here this morning that don't know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray that you touch their hearts. Open their eyes. Allow their ears to hear. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.